This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey everybody, Trey Wingo here, and the Michael K. Show with Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg starts right now. Question, will this be a day without a Don rant?
You never know, Trey. 2 o'clock in the big city. It's Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg hanging with you on a cool, kind of rainy Thursday, but yet everything springs eternal. Hope is in the air as baseball season is officially underway. Yankees up 2-1 on the Blue Jays on a cracking two-run home run in the bottom of the second inning against the Blue Jays. And unfortunately, dampered a little bit by the fact that the Mets will not play tonight against the Nationals because of COVID-19. How are you, Peter?
I'm fantastic, and it should be of note, by the way, that two-run home run courtesy of none other than Gary Sanchez. That's how you want to start things off.
Well, that's why I said the Kraken.
It was.
That's his nickname.
Yeah, it was the Kraken. It was the Kraken of Kraken. I thought you were being literal about the Kraken.
No, not the sound of the bat, but his nickname.
Well, his nickname recently has been, "What have you done for me lately?"
Oh, absolutely. And that, listen, if you don't think that pendulum is going to swing about a billion times between now and the end of the season, you haven't been paying attention. But Cole's dealing, especially in this inning, got a couple of strikeouts looking when you know he's on. He's throwing a lot of pitches, I think like 57 through 3, but doesn't matter. Pitchers don't go more than 6 anymore anyway. And if you want to hear the call of the Kraken, here is Michael Kay, courtesy of Yes.
Sanchez hits one deep to left field, going back, Gurriel looking up, see ya! A two-run home run for Sanchez, and the Yankees lead 2-1.
Well, there you go, opening day, and just a shade under 11,000 fans in the building and into the bleachers in left center field, and the Yankees have the 2-1 lead. But there's two big stories today, Peter. And let's start positive, shall we? Mm-hmm. And we knew this was going to happen. Michael called it. We called it. Deal was going to get done. And it came down. John Heyman was the first to have it. Details came from Jeff Passan, where Francisco Lindor is now a member of the Mets for the next decade. But not for $325, for $341. So, hey, he asked for 12 years, $385. Mets didn't want to go there. So Lindor's camp said, all right, why don't you spice up the 10 years a little bit? Let's go from 325 to 341. Done. And I wouldn't be surprised, Peter, if that was done when they were eating, you know, chicken parm and ravioli the other night and kind of led us by our tongues for a couple of days. But we knew this day was coming. We knew it was going to happen.
That's the part I'm curious about. Was it done that day and then the last couple of days was just straight up trolling from Steve Cohen, or was there actually some level of distance between them over the last couple of days? Well, but the bottom line is this: it was all much ado about nothing.
Well, I
the whole time. This was, it's a fun little thing to chat about, but really investing that much energy into whether or not he's going to cost you 300, 325, 340, 370, you have a great elite player, a guy who, you know, how many guys these days, Don, in baseball are batting over 270 and hitting you over 30 home runs a year and are absolutely shut down in the field? There just aren't a lot of guys like that.
No, he's a great player. That's why they traded for him. You knew it was going to get done the second he was traded for. And you knew that this day was going to come. It was just a matter of how many years and how much money. And it was never going to get contentious. And even when I was reading reports as late as last night before it finally broke that there is a gap, and they're not talking, there's radio silence, because I think both sides realized at the end of the day it was going to happen. It was just a matter of making sure that all the T's were crossed, the I's were dotted, and they finally were well ahead of the deadline. Even if the game were to be played tonight, still happened, you know, 9-10 hours before we were going to be any kind of trouble. So good on the New York Mets, good on Francisco Lindor. But listen, I was taking a look at Twitter last night, hearing the reactions, and you don't know if these are Met fans, Yankee fans, just baseball fans, or just haters. But there are a lot of people, and we want to hear from you. 1-800-919-3776. This show's going to be about you, all right? The Yankees are playing right now. We're going to talk a lot of baseball. We'll get into the Knicks and the Nets. You know, we'll get into some other stuff, but, you know, this is opening day of baseball. You could do two things at once. You could watch the Yankees and call us. 1-800-919-3776. Let's dive in. But there were people that were kind of killing the deal, saying that's just too much money. The Mets are going to regret that when he's 37 years old, making $34 million a year. Here's what I'll say to Mets fans. Forget about everybody else. They can hate all they want. Fact remains is the Wilpons don't own this team anymore. If the Wilpons own this team, then I would think, you know what, this could be a contract that they would regret. And maybe this will put us in a situation where if he struggles, if this doesn't work out, if he's, you know, 35 years old making $34 million a year and he's a part-time player and he's a shell of himself, how that could be a problem. Because you know what would happen, Peter? It would have scared the Wilpons away from ever doing that again. Because I saw it happen. I saw it with the Colemans and the Saberhagens and the Bonillas. When it doesn't work out, it's like, oh, my God, let's not do this again. Or, I'm not going to add. You want me to add payroll after I gave this guy $34 million a year? You want me to get other players? You want me to add to my payroll? No way. I'm already paying a lot of money. Goodbye, Conforto. Goodbye, Syndergaard, because we got to pay Lindor. No, it's a different world now. Cohen is not afraid to spend money. He's not afraid to go over the luxury tax. So, yeah, there's a very good possibility that a decade from now we'll go, oh, my God, is this contract awful. But it's not going to come at the expense of adding or replacing him. Gone are the days of forcing him to play because of the money that he's making. You would think those days are now gone, because this is why you got excited when Steve Cohen bought the team in the first place. Yes, it was because he was going to spend money, but he wasn't going to get scared off when spending money didn't work. So I don't know what the problem is. You're a Met fan. Enjoy it. You now have him locked up for 10 years. You know, don't get caught up in how much money he makes a year.
Don, I'm ready to take this to another level. You know what I want today? I dare. I want and dare a Mets fan to call up and be legitimately upset about what happened with Francisco Lindor. Please. Please call. I want to have a conversation about how sad and miserable you are. Because there is no world in which you obsessing over money that is not yours for an owner who doesn't care about the tax, who has the money to spend, who wants to make a great impression on fans, so I'm highly doubting he's going to dip right into raising ticket prices and concession prices and things of that nature. How are you upset today? Please call and be upset today about also, signing a player this good for the next 10 years.
And I really, because the negatives that you can say are that it's... he could be a bit of a problem as he starts to get 35, 36, 37 years old, right? Now, I don't know what a lot of these people have going on in their lives, but I really, Peter, wish I had the luxury as a 53-year-old guy to really worry extensively about what my baseball team's going to look like 10 years from now. Right? Can I get through this year? Can I get through
the
first half of the contract? Can I maybe actually have a team that can compete? Can I actually have a team that's fun to root for? Because you know what the Mets have been the last couple of years? they've been losing and boring. Now we got an exciting team. We got a team that can compete for a championship. And I'm going to obsess over what this is going to look like in 2030?
Well, and also, Don, I have some information for you. This is a team that is ready to compete seriously right now. Over the next 5 years, you have the best pitcher in baseball. You have young talent. You have Pete Alonso. We don't even know what his ceiling is yet. Now you have Francisco Lindor in his prime. You have J.D. Davis. I'm very curious to see about him. Dom Smith, who's becoming a star. Michael Conforto, who could still be a stud. You have Noah Syndergaard coming back, who's still a young man. The time is now. If they had to give Lindor money on the back end to ensure that he was happy and they had him here for the next five is it for this team.
Yeah. And if it ends up being bad in the second half of the contract, you're supposed to have an owner that's not supposed to bat an eye and survive it. Was Ellsbury
an awful
contract for the Yankees?
If you're coming off two World Series, Don, are you crying about that?
Now, yep. Ellsbury's been awful for the Yankees, right? And that was an awful contract. But did it stop the Yankees from building a team that's won over 100 games? Now, they adhere to the luxury tax way more than Cohen and a lot of other teams do, like the Dodgers. So there's an issue there, and maybe that scared them off of giving up big-time contracts and all that. But after the embarrassment of Ellsbury, they still went out and traded for Stanton. And even though Stanton really hasn't worked out, they still gave Gerrit Cole a 9-year contract worth billions of dollars, right? So that's what that's the stratosphere the Mets want to be in. When mistakes are made, it doesn't cripple you. See, back in the day, and even for some small market teams, that when you end up making a mistake, like the Tatis deal, now he's a lot younger, so you understood the term that San Diego gave him. But if that doesn't work out, that could be a killer to the Padres because they don't generate as much income. They're not going to be able to spend that much money when you've already got Machado and now Tatis signed long term. So that better work out, otherwise it could prohibit them from being able to add later on. But the Mets are not supposed to be a small market team anymore. I would agree if the Wilpons still own the team. This would be dangerous territory. But that's not supposed to be the case. 1-800-919-3776. Let's line them up right out of the box. Doug from Connecticut wants to disagree. Right out of the box. Doug, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, brother? This is the worst deal since Bobby Bonilla. We're going to be paying this guy until he's in diapers, for God's sakes. $5 million on the outside after the contract's over? Deferred money?
But how does it hurt them when you have an owner that it doesn't matter? Like, the Bonilla stunk because you had ownership that wanted to treat the Mets like the Kansas City Royals. So it was embarrassing that Bobby Bonilla, who did nothing as a Met, is still getting paid to this day. But with Cohen, doesn't that make it a little different?
You know what scares me is that, I mean, truthfully, Lindor's a stud. But, and shortstop is such a valuable position. It was a great move by the Mets. But what does scare me is having Dom Smith in left field. You're trying to turn him into an outfielder, and he's not. I just go back to trying Daniel Murphy in left field. You've upgraded so much at shortstop, so much at behind the plate. We've got to do something in left field.
The thing that stinks, Doug, and it's not Steve Cohen's fault, it's not the Mets' fault, Doug, and thank you for the call. If this would not be a problem if there was a DH in the National League. And up until a month ago, we thought there was going to be. There was one last year. And then Dom Smith can go to first base, and then Alonso can be your DH, and they can go out and get an outfielder. But you want Dom Smith in the lineup, but where are you going to put him? That's because of the stupid Players Association and owners not being able to get along with each other, and instead of realizing that this would be good for baseball to have a DH, they're using it as a pawn. It's a joke. But see, Doug didn't have a leg to stand on. Peter, we won that argument because...
Well, I think he was mostly kidding, actually.
Yeah, he must have been because he got right off of the worst contract ever. Why do I get caught up in all the little excess stuff? That was a big deal when you had a franchise that didn't spend any money. Do you know that Bobby Bonilla has the same contract that Ichiro had in Seattle? I think Ichiro's still getting paid by Seattle. And he's long retired, too. But, you know, Ichiro was successful in Seattle. Seattle spent money on Alex Rodriguez. Nobody cared.
Right.
But the Bonilla deal was a big deal, Peter, because the Mets stunk. The Mets weren't spending any money. And ha, 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 there's Bobby Bonilla, 15 years after leaving the Mets, still getting paid.
And Lindor, first of all, vastly different player, different position, different point in his career. It's not even comparable. But you're right. What's the difference? If you have an owner who's going to spend and they're not going to be held up by this contract, who cares? It's not your money.
And here's the other thing, too. Yeah. I don't want to have to pay $34 million to a 36, 37-year-old shortstop. It's not ideal. But, Peter, 10 years from now, what's $34 million going to be? Because we thought this was all going to stop with the pandemic, right? And for the most part, it has hurt a lot of teams financially. But the billionaires are still the billionaires and still treat this as a toy. The contracts are still flying. Mookie Betts got an outrageous contract during the pandemic. You're seeing, obviously, Lindor, all those shortstops that are going to be free agents at the end of the year, they're going to get their money. So
and
don't
I gotta
get
tell
caught
you, Don,
up in, oh, well, doctors, oh, the teachers don't. Stop. This is the fantasy land we live in. This is the price of doing business.
Yeah,
and you
I
now
gotta
have an
you.
Owner where it's not going to hurt as much if Lindor ends up being awful at 36 years old, when it's possible that $34 million in 2030 will actually look like chump change.
I also totally, to the point you just made, Don, I totally disagree with our friend, the big fella, Chris Carlin, who you can hear after us every day at 6:30. Yesterday he started his show, which was terrific, with, you know, read the room, 10 million jobs lost, and the whole conversation about what COVID has done to this country. I'm sorry, that is not, I do not believe baseball fans are angry that players are still angling to get the money they deserve. And as if he had taken $300 million, well, we could relate to that. But when you say you want $343, now I'm sick. Like, I'm sorry. I understand it. But these guys, we all know this is not the world that any normal human beings are playing in.
Well, yeah, but because who's going to play Gandhi, Peter? Who's going to be the guy that's going to say, I'm being offered 10 years, 325. I can't in good conscience take it. Not when there are people homeless. Not when there are people that are out of jobs. You know what? Just give me 1 year, $1 million, and then when the pandemic's over, we'll talk. Who's doing that? And is that what you expect to have happen? That would be tremendous. That would be a great thing to do. But the business still exists because, again, what's Lindor doing? Lindor is taking money away from a guy that could drop $325 million in a pool and not dive in and get it. All right? This is not coming off the backs of the people that are homeless or the people that don't have jobs. And don't give me the whole, my ticket prices are going up. Guess what? Your ticket prices go up anyway. Your cable prices still go up, regardless if they win 100 games or lose 100 games. Doesn't matter if the Mets spend money or don't spend money. The ticket prices still go up. The cable bill still goes up. The price of a hat, the price of the jersey, the price of the hot dog still goes up.
And the owners are still making more money than the players.
But see that's the perfect point, is that we're living in a tiny little world here where the 1%, they're just exchanging money. All right? Now you hope, and I don't know Lindor. I don't know what his philanthropy is. Maybe he'll spend a lot of that money. I would think he's probably going to give to charity. Steve Cohen, I'm sure, gives to charity. You hope that the 1%. But here's the world we live in, pandemic, hurricanes, earthquakes, war, whatever, the 1% is the 1%. So all this is the 1%, because Lindor's in the 1% too, now that he's making this money. It's just exchanging hands.
So Don, I think you just delivered a Donism.
What did I do?
Philanthropy.
Philanthropic.
No, philanthropy.
Philanthropy.
Yep. All right. Andrew, is that one? Did you ever have that?
Yeah, that's a renowned one.
I really didn't know until that, because you know what? I'm not very philanthropic.
That's not true, Don. Look at
No. I listen.
Look at what you give people.
Nancy handles the money, and she tells me about all the money she donates, and I think it's terrific.
Yeah, you have to have actual money to be philanthropic.
Philanthropic.
You don't control any money. What can you do?
I'll tell you, it's a load off.
Yeah, I bet. By the way, Don, I'm not saying I'm rooting for the Blue Jays today, but what gorgeous uniforms.
Gorgeous.
They
run. Oh. Absolutely gorgeous jerseys.
The baby blue throwback.
Yeah, that's really cool. All right, more phone calls at 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to our buddy Danny on Long Island. You're on ESPN New York. What's up, Danny?
Good afternoon, boys. It's the best day of the year, and it's also the saddest day of the year, because from the moment the confetti hits the floor at the Super Bowl to this day, the Michael Kay Show is a freewheeling discussion of all things in the world with a little sports mixed in. And starting at 3 o'clock today, we'll get some crazed phone call from Joe from Staten Island, who wants to remind us about a pitching change that, you know, Girardi did in 1999.
Bring back the old days.
Right. Sure.
We're gonna break every game down to a fine powder. But it is opening day, and I'm a little disappointed that my Mets won't be playing. I was driving into work at the 5 o'clock this morning when Dave broke the news that I have a new shortstop. But Don, you hit all the points. You know, we see NFL quarterbacks sign contracts that we think are insane, and then 3 years later, somebody gets a bigger contract. You know, yeah. So the money is just toy money. It's play money. It's monopoly. It has nothing to do with us. So if the Mets want to pay him, pay him. I'm still going to go to a couple of games. I'm still going to pay my cable bill. My salary is going up, not as much as his is, of course. But, you know, this is the world we live in. It's been like that since they signed Reggie Jackson. My father threw the newspaper down when Reggie got a million, or a catfish hunter or somebody. This is nothing new. So everybody just calm down. Hopefully he plays well and it doesn't become a negative thing for the Mets, because, you know, the history of the Mets, you know, please don't get me nervous with that. But it's a good day. And you and Peter hit. I agree with every word out of your mouth so far. So, like, let's just enjoy opening day. And
that's it. Just watch the game. Don't get caught up in
all that. Sanchez hit a home run.
Because you know what? This all gets forgotten about, Danny, if he hits. If he plays well, and we're sitting down watching SNY, watching the game, you think any Yankee fan right now is watching Cole dealing today and thinking about how much money he's making, or just enjoying the fact that he's a Yankee and he's pitching and he's helping them win? The only time it comes up in conversation is when the guy is awful, and so far that hasn't been the case. Real quick, Peter, I just got a flashback from Danny talking about his dad, about all the money and the contracts when Reggie Jackson signed. My dad and I are in the living room in Hawthorne, New Jersey, watching NFL. I think it was on CBS. Okay. I don't think it was NBC. And so it was probably before a Giant game. Dave Winfield was in studio, because Dave Winfield was going to become a free agent with the Padres, and it looked like he was going to sign with the Yankees. And he was going to get $1 million a year. So this is what, 1980 football season. So going into the 81 season when Dave Winfield joined the Yankees. And I remember my father saying, no human being is worth $1 million a year.
Wow.
Now you've got guys making 35 times that a year. And we're talking 40 years ago, Peter, but it's not that long ago. But the money's there, and this is what you got to live with. So
imagine your dad would either cry from joy or puke to know what his own son is making for talking about nothing.
You know what? It is the quintessential point of the day. No point will be made more crystal clear than what you just said.
Think about it.
To the point where if I ever had the audacity to complain about my job, I think my father would smack me across the face. Like if I had one of those long conversations that we sometimes have on FaceTime before the show, like I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Can you believe they're asking us to do this, Peter? My father would go whack with my father's $11 an hour working his tail off to make sure that we had food on the table. I'm going to complain about the fact that my day's starting an hour earlier. Now. Smack.
It's true, but you could apply it here too.
And it's not. Listen, my father never raised a hand to me. He didn't have to because I knew he'd kill me.
Was he like Michael's father? Did he go down to the school and choke people?
No, but my dad was a brown belt karate. Could bench press 500 pounds. He was
strong.
What is that?
Strong
mean?
Man.
How did he bench press 500 pounds?
He was a monster. Because, the whole Marine, my father was a Navy guy, not a Marine. God, he'd smack me in the face for that. So if he laid a hand on me, it would be when I was older.
I was making an face dead.
This is the power my father had over me, okay? Because there's power of having mortal fear, but also listening to what he has to say. The most mad my father ever got at me was I was having an argument with my mom in the kitchen. And my dad goes, what's going on? And I said, she said, and I barely got the said part out of it. And my father took a step to me, and I wanted to run, but for some reason he was able to pull me back with just his eye power. Just because I referred to my mom as she. It's like, that's not she. She's not she. That's your mother. That's your mom. Yes, Dad. And I was like 23 years old. So that smack across the face would have happened when I was older, not when I was a kid.
Just for the word she.
Right. I referred to her as she. And oh, my God, did he get upset.
Wow.
So me complaining about my little problems at work? Nope. He wouldn't want to hear it. But I want to hear from you. 1-800-919-3776. So the Yankees right now are in the bottom of the fourth inning up 2-1. That means Michael will join us when that game is over, and we'll be joined by Yes If Time Allows, because we got the Rangers coming up tonight taking on the Sabres. Oh, by the way, I got something to say about that coming up. Knicks, Nets, we got to talk about them. It's Don and Peter. We're hanging out with you until 6:35 or 6:30 before Rangers hockey on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Michael Kay Show.
John Mara spoke to the media yesterday. He had a bunch of stuff to say about wanting to win now.
You know, I'm tired of the losing and of having a postseason press conference trying to explain what went wrong and why I think we're making progress. It's time for us to start winning some more, and that's one of the reasons we spent the money that we did. I do think we're making progress here. We've added more players. It's definitely a better locker room.
I kind of feel like this is a good thing and a bad thing. It's a good thing. You went out and got really good players, really good young free agents. But in a league where you really build through the draft, when I hear an owner of a team saying, I want to win now, I'm sick of losing, sounds like he got a lot invested in 2021.
The Michael Kay Show.
Now when they poop in the potty, they get a prize.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All the drops keep on coming. 502 in the big city. You're getting in your car, driving home. Actually turned out to be a real nice day. It was awful early, but the sun's out. A little chilly for April 1st, but still, it's opening day, and hope springs eternal, but Yankees end up losing in 10, 3-2 to the Blue Jays, and the Mets game postponed because of COVID-19 protocol with the Washington Nationals. So we'll talk about the Mets in a little bit, but Peter, let's get into the Yankees, and Michael will join us shortly from the stadium, and then Yes will join us after the postgame show. What this loss really comes down to, LeMahieu, 0-for-4. Hicks, 1-for-5 with 2 strikeouts. Judge, 1-for-5 with 2 strikeouts. Hicks, 0-for-4, 3 strikeouts. Stanton, 0-for-5, 3 strikeouts. Torres, 1-for-4 with a run scored, 2 strikeouts. Urshela, 0-for-4, 2 strikeouts. I mean, so you go 1-through-6, you got nothing. You got 2 hits. And 1 run scored. The only positive offensively really was Gary Sanchez's 2-run home run. That was all the offense that the Yankees got in this game. And that's going to kill you. I mean, it's only one game. Let's not get crazy. But when 1-through-6 give you nothing, Peter, how are you supposed to win a baseball game?
Yeah, and if you're a Yankees fan, and we know how Yankee fans are about Stanton to start out with, an opening day where he looks completely lost is not what you were looking for. And you feel good that Gary got a hold of one. That's great news, especially with how spring training ended. But yeah, that felt like an all too familiar sight, Don, of seeing Stanton just looking a little confused at the plate.
Yeah, I mean, just stinks because there was so much momentum from the postseason last year where he was just raking. It was like everything he hit was hard. It was a home run.
It was his best moment as a Yankee.
And then, bang, opening day against the Blue Jays in front of, you know, a crowd for the first time in a long time, and then you put up an 0-for with 3 strikeouts, and, you know, especially with the winning run and scoring position at one point with a strikeout. I mean, that's going to hurt. And he did get booed by the fans of just the shade under 11,000. And you know what? I was looking at Twitter. Matter of fact, Jarve sent something weak out of the Yankee fans for booing him. You know, this is not – that's going to happen. I'm sorry. That's just New York, all right? I'm not surprised by that. You know, they expect a lot from you. It's a winnable game. You strike out. I mean, fans are going to boo you. Sorry. So that's just life. That's life in New York. That's life of being a star. That's life for making tons of money. That's life for a former MVP that wasn't an MVP with the Yankees. Sorry, I can't say I'm surprised by that at all. Michael was there, and he'll join us and give us a feel for that. But I'm tired of sitting there ripping the fans. You know, they want to see production, and you get an 0-for-5 from your cleanup hitter with 3 strikeouts. I understand the fans being disappointed, especially the work, not just the money, but the work fans now have to go through to get into the stadium. You can't kill them for being a little bit upset.
Garrett Cole, 5 1/3, 5 hits, 2 runs, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts. How do you view Cole's performance today?
Listen, you'd like a little bit more than the amount of innings that he gave you.
Just shy
of 100
pitches.
Anything wrong with that. 5 1/3 doesn't seem to be a lot. He ended up throwing
97, I think.
97 pitches, so he wasn't going to last past the sixth anyway, and that's kind of the world we live in with pitchers not really going longer than sixth. But he was spotted a 2-1 lead after he gave up a run early in the game, but he gave up the Hernandez home run to tie it at two, so he was going to get a no decision. So Boone figured, I'll just take him out now because he's not going to last past the sixth and he can't win the game anyway. I think if he had a 2-1 lead, if that Hernandez home run, Peter, was made a 2-0 game, a 2-1 game, maybe he gets to go through the sixth inning to try to get the win. But the bullpen was money. Green came in, first pitch he threw. When Cole came out of the game, he induced a double play, ended up having giving up a hit the next inning, but had 1 2/3 innings of just one hit. Loaisiga was perfect with a strikeout for an inning. O'Day gave up a hit, but he did have a strikeout, didn't allow a run. Nelson, the same thing. He won't get tagged with the earned run because of the fact that it was the runner at second base for the extra inning, so he gets tagged with the loss but does not get an earned run. He had three strikeouts in his performance, so thought the bullpen was real good. Yeah, maybe you want more out of Cole, Peter, but it wouldn't have mattered anyway because the two runs that were scored in the first nine innings of the game were off of Cole anyway. So the positives, I think, the bullpen and Sanchez with a bomb. But other than that, I mean, 13 strikeouts from the Yankee hitters, just six hits. You know, just kind of shut down against the Blue Jay team. Ryu is a really good pitcher. He only went 5 1/3. So that's just kind of the way of the world with the starting pitchers. But, you know, this is a Blue Jay team that's going to be a bit of a problem. I can't get crazy. It's only one day. But I know Yankee fans probably think it stinks to lose on opening day. And it stinks to lose on opening day when your team doesn't hit. Because this game, Peter, outside of the runner at second base to start the extra innings, kind of looked like what we saw all postseason long, where they just couldn't get the big hit to finish the team off.
Yep.
So that's what makes you feel bad if you're the Yankee fan out there, is that you want to see something different than what you saw in the postseason. Come on, there's 161 of these left. I wouldn't have freaked out if it was a 60-game schedule because there's so much baseball to be played. But, again, a 0 for 4 for Lemieux, 1 for 5 for LeMahieu, 1 for 5 for Judge, 0 for 4 for Hicks, 0 for 5 for Stanton. It's a lot of production that's just not getting it done for the New York Yankees, and a lot of strikeouts, which is something we've kind of gotten used to seeing. The other big story before we get to your phone calls on the baseball and Michael joining us is the Met game postponed because of COVID-19 protocol with the Washington Nationals, so there's no game tomorrow because they always give the home team that day off in case opening day gets rained out. So the hope is by Saturday they'll be able to get things going again. So we get taken away a real good pitching matchup on national television tonight. But Francisco Lindor, the deal's done. A little bit heavier than we thought it was going to be. I thought it was just going to end up being the 10 years for 325. Ends up being 10 years for 341. But, Peter, to a Met fan, who cares? He's here. Don't worry about 10 years from now. Don't worry about 5 years from now. They locked up one of the best players in baseball, and he's here to stay.
Listen.
So Michael joins us after the Yankees go 0-9, guys, with runners in scoring position. And, Michael, we were just talking about it, the complete lack of production from the first six batters of your lineup. Really, the lack of production, period, outside of the home run from Gary Sanchez, you know, is why the Yankees ended up losing today.
And the bottom line is this. You certainly have your opportunities. You have the people up when you want them up, and it didn't happen. So you go to the seventh inning when the game is 2-2. The Yankees have the bases loaded, one out, Aaron Judge at the plate, and he bangs into a 5-4-3 double play. So he doesn't get it done at that point. Then in the ninth inning, you have the bases loaded and two outs, Aaron Judge at the plate. An amazing stat. I don't know if you guys heard the stat. He had never had a walk-off hit in his career, ever. So he had an opportunity to win the game in the bottom of the ninth inning. He struck out. And then in the 10th inning, you start a runner at second base. Yankees are down 3-2. Hicks strikes out looking. Stanton strikes out. Gleyber Torres strikes out. So this was a day for the pitchers. The Yankee pitchers, I thought, did very well. And the Blue Jays, who are without Kirby Yates, their bullpen pitched great. Tyler Chatwood, David Phelps, Rafael Dolis, Jordan Romano, and then Julian Merriweather in the 10th inning looked absolutely magnificent. And the Blue Jays take the first game by a score of 3-2. Yankees are 0-1. The Blue Jays are 1-0, but the game gets in a full house, 10,850, which is exactly the capacity of the stadium now when, COVID restrictions are in of 20%. And the crowd looked like it enjoyed himself, but certainly not not the ending that they wanted, because at this time of the year, sometimes the pitchers just jump out ahead of the hitters, and the hitters just didn't have it going on today. The Yankees had the right people up at the right time. But one hitter, I know you like this, Peter, the one hitter that stepped up when he had to step up was Gary Sanchez.
Love it.
He had a two-run home run in the second. He had an infield single in the seventh, and he had a walk in the ninth inning. He had a caught stealing against one of the runners of the Blue Jays. He blocked pitches in the dirt. He called a great game as well. So I know that fans right away want to jump on, you know, Gary Sanchez, and they're looking for something to go wrong. It didn't go wrong today. He pitched very, very well.
Well, today they have their other favorite target, Giancarlo Stanton.
How about that? They still booing.
Now, Michael, I watched almost every – I think I missed one at-bat. But in the other four at-bats I saw of Stanton, he looked lost and uncomfortable to me. Am I wrong about that?
He was out of sync. The whole Yankee offense, so you can't just say it was Stanton. He popped up to second, grounded to first, and then strikeout. You know, he's usually, I mean, in the past opening days that he's had in his short Yankee career, he was 6-for-11, 3 home runs and 7 ribbies. And he actually hit very well in spring training, one of the few Yankees that did, at 11-for-35, but didn't have it today. And, you know, I think that what happened, guys, is that Hyunjin Ryu was pitching for the Blue Jays, and he's got such a filthy changeup. He just threw every Yankee batter out of whack. Every single one of them was off. They were either ahead or behind, and I think that set the stage for the rest of the game, because, you know, then one arm after another that throws hard, and they couldn't catch up. Ryu's throwing 91 miles an hour, and they couldn't catch up because his changeup was so good. So yeah. The Blue Jays played a pretty good game today.
No, but I guess the frustrating thing for Yankee fans, and we'll hear from them, you know, coming up. Is
think?
That was kind of eerily similar to what we saw in the postseason, right? It's not getting the big hit when you need it. And you got your starting pitching. You didn't go deep into the game, Cole, but it didn't matter anyway, right? I mean, the bullpen ended up being very good for the Yankees. And,
yep.
You know, they got the double play from Green as soon as Cole came out. And I don't know if you agree, Michaels. He threw 97 pitches, so he wasn't going to go past 6 anyway, I wouldn't think. Does he stick with Cole if that's a 2-1 game instead of 2-2? But he still wasn't going to give you more than 6 anyway, and he gave up the 2 runs. So I can't say the lack of depth from Cole really affected the Yankees at all today.
You know, he rang up 8 strikeouts, and that's a problem in baseball right now. We complain about, you know, starters not being able to go that deep into games. When you strike people out, you're going to throw a lot of pitches. I mean, that's just the product of it. You're going to throw at least 3, and most strikeouts are on 1-2-3 strikeout, you know, ball here, ball there. So he was up in the pitch count, and the most pitches that he had thrown in spring training, I believe, was 88, so they weren't going to take him much more than 90 to 100, and at that point they take him out in the home run by Teoscar Hernandez.
Yeah,
it might still be traveling. I think it was 437 feet. And the very next batter, he walks Vlad Guerrero, so they take him out. They bring in Chad Green, and Green throws one pitch and gets Gurriel to bang into a double play. So the Yankee bullpen pitched well. Green, an inning in a third. Loaiziga, a 1-2-3 eighth. Darren O'Day pitched the scoreless ninth. And then Nick Nelson, who the Yankees love, he comes in, and, you know, just to get ahead of Grichuk, he throws a strike, and Grichuk hits the ball over Judge's head because it's a silly extra inning rule. There's a runner at second base. He scores, and that's the ball game right there. And, boy, I give my partner David Cone some credit. He took Major League Baseball a task right away. He said, yeah, this rule they like, but then they don't have a universal DH in the National League, and he's right. Now, that's also the fault of the players because they turned it into a negotiating tool. But I understand last year, with the COVID situation, people with the unknowns, they didn't want long games and things like that. But I just think that's a dumb rule. I remember what Joe Torre told us last year. He said, I don't mind the rule, but he said, put the runner at second base in the 12th inning. He said, why are you doing it in the first extra inning? It doesn't make sense. It's not true to baseball. But all of us who feel like that, Don, we can't hold steady on those old mores. We just can't, because the game has to change. It has to grow in order to survive. And I guess the powers that be think this is something that they need to do. I'm not sure I agree.
Well, first of all, it doesn't make the game more exciting, okay? So it's not a rule that you're trying to get younger people involved. What you're trying to do is not have those epic 20-inning games and nobody sees the end of it because they last too long. And in a 162-game season with only 18 days off, you know, it's really hard to have guys play that many innings. So if really you're trying to stop that epically long game, then yeah, institute it into 12. At least give teams a couple of innings to play it straight, and then when it looks like it's going to get a little out of hand, because the games can last long, Michael, everybody is swinging for the game-winning home run.
Yep.
So what ends up happening is you play 17, 18 games until finally somebody hits one. So I get that they don't want that to happen. As epic and as fun as those games are, it does kill the players. But, all right, institute in the 12th, the 13th inning. But the 10th, the 10th and the 11th, you know, give a chance to win.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Nelson gets tagged with a loss, Michael, and it's funny. You look at the box score.
He struck out the side.
He struck out the side and didn't allow a run, technically, or an earned run, because you can't give him the earned run because he didn't put the runner at second base. So he goes in there with zero margin for error. He can give up a little ground ball through the hole, and his job is lost. And that just seems unfair to me. So if you go, all right, 12, 13 innings, all right, listen, you had your chance. Now we got to kind of figure out some way to speed this up a little bit. And then Peter made up a good point, too. You're so concerned about the game going too long. Well, if the Blue Jays score, if the Yankees score there in the bottom half, well, then we're going to play again. Because it could be just as easy for the home team to tack on a run and take advantage of that as the road team in the top half of the inning. So I didn't see the stats to see, like, the innings being shortened compared to other years or whatever. Yeah, but this one does bother me a little bit.
Yeah, you struck out 13 times today, guys, and that's a new franchise record on opening day, and that's what baseball is right now. So they had the home run to score their runs, and then they struck out 13 times. So there you have it. This portion
and they struck out the Blue Jays 13 times.
Yep. Every team's going to do that. It's not just the Yankees. This portion of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. I was listening in to the beginning of the it's just one of my favorite things I've ever heard on the show. So Don gives this long soliloquy breaking down the game and then waits for Peter to say something. Peter goes, yep, I loved it. It was deep. It was innovative. It was searingly interesting, I thought. Yep. If Anthony could somehow like isolate that, it's one of the great things I've ever heard.
The funny thing is I noticed it too. I knew that it happened. I said, well, I wasn't really prepared. You know, listen, sometimes Don gets going.
And then you just lose track of time.
Yeah, I'm just listening. And listen, I'm not going to jump in and follow his breakdown of the game by giving a breakdown of the
game.
And
he's so interesting. You know, he doesn't leave you much because he said it all.
He covered it. You got the whole game.
Yeah.
Boy, you want me to repeat the same thing to hear my own voice?
I'm
good.
Sorry.
No, I don't think that. This is Peter's fault, Don, not yours.
Well, I don't have a fault.
Your
fault. Saved the audience. They didn't need to hear it again.
All right, let's go to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. Aaron and Woodmere, why don't you start off post Yankees?
Hey, Michael, what's up? I love the show.
Thanks.
I can't tell by your tone, but do you think this is just one of 162, or do you have a general pessimism about this team? Because I'm really not sure right now.
Aaron, really? Aaron, really?
Listen, he's having a bad day.
Really, Aaron, come
100%,
on.
100%. I mean,
you think this team's in trouble because they just lost the first game? What?
No, you don't think this team is slightly worse than past teams?
No. Why? Because they lost today?
I mean, look, Corey Kluber is their second starter. He's 100% a question mark.
Okay.
Jameson Taillon, question mark.
But you feel like this because they lost it? The bullpen is fine. What's wrong with the bullpen?
Because they lost, but I had this feeling before the season. So I think this it's just proving my point. I'm really not sure about this team.
I really, Aaron, with all due respect, think you have lost your mind. That's with all due respect.
You said all due respect.
So. Yeah, I mean, 10 innings of a season, and this is problematic. Call me back. Call us back in July. But he's worried about this team right now off this game.
No, you could be worried about the team all you want, but not off this game. It's one game. Now, I understand the frustration because it's eerily similar to how they lost in the postseason. I get that, but it's one game against a good team. I mean, the Blue Jays, I don't know if the Blue Jays are going to the playoffs. I still think the Yankees winning this division, despite the fact they're not going to go 162-0. But the Blue Jays are a good team.
I don't know what to say. Let's go to Tom in Brooklyn. Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm not going to be the guy with the one game or whatever, but I feel like I've been watching this since 2017. You know, it's either home run or strikeout. It's ugly to watch. It's not fun to watch. You know, they had runner at second with no outs, runner at third with one out. There's no fundamentals with this team at all to get a run in, God forbid. you know, and I feel like I've been watching this nonstop. Now, I'm not going to worry and panic. I'm not going to be that guy. But it is alarming that this goes back to, like, this is not a play. Like, when it comes to the playoffs, this is not a formula to win home run to strikeout, because you know what? There's much more strikeouts.
But, Tom, I mean, isn't that every team in baseball? It's not just the Yankees. That's how baseball's played now.
I understand that.
So, you, I mean, you essentially don't like the game now. I cannot disagree with you, Tom. I can't. Baseball is not aesthetically pleasing right now, and that's why Theo Epstein, who helped create the Frankenstein monster, has been hired by baseball to help defuse the Frankenstein monster. They're coming. They're trying to come up with things. It's going to be tough because you can't change the rules that easily in baseball. They have to be negotiated. But don't just say the Yankees play baseball like this. Everybody plays baseball like this. Everybody. And also, the best hitter in baseball in terms of getting a hit with runners in scoring position, Don and Peter, is DJ LeMahieu. He didn't do it.
Nope.
He had a chance to win the game twice. He didn't do it. He hit 387 in the last 2 years with runners in scoring position, the best in baseball. It was one of those days.
Hey, Michael, do the fans realize, I know they get focused on their team. Met fans do this too. All fans do it. The other team gets paid to try to get you out.
Mm.
Like, they're not there to just be patsy so the Yankees can get a walk-off win on opening day and everybody go home and feel good. Blue Jays want to win the game. And it's their job to stop the Yankees and give them credit. Sometimes the other team does a better job. Over the long haul, I don't think that'll be the case. I think the Yankees will be fine and they'll make the playoffs. But give the Blue Jays some credit. They get paid too, you know.
In the words of Peter, yep. I mean, really. Let's go to Simon in New Haven. Simon?
Hi, guys. Happy Easter to both of you. Well,
thanks.
I wanted to make some comments about the Yanks. I mean, okay. I'm glad the opening day is back. I'm glad the fans are back. But it seems like, I mean, like you were saying, I know it's only one game, but, you know, we got to come through with these, you know, clutch hits here. The trouble with the hitters is they're so selective. I mean, why can't they just take the Soriano approach and go after the first pitch like LeMahieu does? I mean, they're so selective. Every, you know, if these pitchers work their you-know-whats off. They need some runs. It's like they pitch for nothing. I mean, don't get me wrong, you know. I know things are, it's only one game, but, you know, I like to see some, you know, some more effort, some more attempts. John Sterling, you can't get the opposing team extra outs.
You didn't see effort today is what you're saying. So they didn't try to get hits. Just because you don't have results, Simon, doesn't mean that you don't have efforts. I got to tell you. I'm about to boil. After one game, this is the reaction. You all should be ashamed of yourselves. Ashamed of yourselves. Don't celebrate when they win 105 games this year. They shouldn't be as selective, Don. I guess they should chase pitches out of the strike zone. And they don't have effort. Really? They didn't have effort?
What a miserable existence when you think about it, Michael. When you lose a game, first game of the season, right? You're disgusted with a team where now it changes everything. And if they had won the game, it probably would have been like, all right, go do it again.
Unbelievable. How do you enjoy it?
Listen, I'm not telling you to be happy about it, especially if you spent good money, got tested, or got a vaccine specifically to go to opening day and watch the team play. But, you know, effort, those guys are trying. Nothing, Michael, in any sport looks like a lack of effort more than not scoring. I see it all the time.
Lack of offense is sometimes interpreted as lack of trying, which is lack of knowing the game, if you think that.
The great thing about these Yankee hitters is how selective they are and how they make pitchers work. And over a long season, that's going to benefit them. They're going to get walks. They're going to get pitchers out of there because they're going to have their pitch counts go through the roof by not swinging at the first pitch, by being selective. One game. It's April 1st. This is what the next 6 months are going to be?
Maybe this is April Fool's joke on us that they're concerned after one game.
No, it's real.
Yep.
Oh, it's real and unspectacular.
I really think, Peter, because you're a businessman.
Sure I am.
I think you should have a line of shirts that just says, yep.
Do we have the audio yet? Was it findable?
I'm taking this as a shot.
No, it's not.
Let's see.
Because I got to leave some room for my partner.
No, it's a shot at me. Here, let's hear it.
Kind of looked like what we saw all postseason long, where they just couldn't get the big hit to finish the team off.
Yep.
That was it. I don't know if I've ever heard a better breakdown.
No, I had to continue because
I know
the
what
other
do you
response
do?
From Peter yeah. was silence.
What do you do?
Hold on, hold on. For an opening day of the baseball season with no Michael, I provided plenty of baseball conversation.
You did.
And interest in today's game specifically, of which I watched the entire thing. That just happened to be one moment where I had nothing to add. So I said, yep.
And we're going to figure this. We have to figure this out with the way Peter consumes television because the game just ended for Peter. Like, he was so far behind. Like, every time I'd update the Yankee score, I kind of, like, ruined it for him.
Well, I got Judge is on second base right now, one out.
Did you see that Strahan, his tooth gap is back? It was an April Fool's joke.
No,
we surmised.
That's not funny.
Can I say this, too? I was talking about it with Andrew. I know we got a good break. This is the worst holiday. April Fool's is the worst.
I hate this holiday.
I mean, not just for what happened
it.
16 years ago, but the whole – that's not funny. It's, you went through all that work for – nobody, not one person laughed at that or cared.
I got to tell you, Strahan, you look better with it closed.
Right.
Maybe don't have it be an April Fool's joke.
People love April Fool's.
So here's the deal, though, because – everybody who has half a mind is on to April Fool's. So now people are doing April Fool's jokes on March 30th. Sorry, it doesn't work.
No.
Yeah, that, by the way, that's unfair. You're cheating.
Yeah, that's cheating.
Yep. 1-800-919-3776. New line of shirts. Yep. Coming out. You should work for Yes, but they should change the name to Yep.
Yep. It was more of a yip, to be honest with you.
It was a yip, yeah. Anyway, we'll be back with more of your complaints, and we have a big E&M coming up. By the way, I'm going to politic again because I see voting that is making me very, very angry.
No,
really?
A soft salami is getting killed? I'm sorry, I can't accept that.
Well, what do you mean? It's up against Stench.
Stench has built not a cult following. Michael, this is almost like Jim Jones territory with Stench.
Seriously, I've got soft salami and Stench is my hope.
Soft salami beats Stench anytime.
No, it doesn't. No one thinks that. No one.
Well, two people on the show do.
I can't believe you think soft salami is funnier. He knew what he was saying when he said that. Stench was in earnest. What is wrong
with
him?
He did not know what he was saying.
Oh, yes, he did.
No, he was talking about going to Cats and getting a soft salami. He did not know what he was saying.
Don, tell us the truth right now. While you were telling the truth, you had an idea of how it sounded.
No, I don't think that. I seriously don't think that way.
Well, no matter what you thought, it's not funnier than Stench.
No,
now you guys like have a vendetta against Stench.
Stench is like a pure cult now.
Please go to @TMKSESPN and
why
vote
are you
for
so anti-Stench? What is wrong with you?
First of all, Andrew,
jump in. Does this trouble you at all?
I don't want to sway the vote. It does trouble me, though. We have the soft salami Don drop. There's a million of those drops where it's just like a quintessential Don drop. I'm not a big cheese guy. Nancy made hamburger helper. It falls into that category of kind of generic Don. Stench is different.
Generic,
it's unique.
Generic Don is brilliant. I mean, he makes the show.
But saying we have tons of those.
Yeah, Stench. You guys are both like asleep on how funny Stench is, which is so weird because you laugh whenever you hear it.
No, I'm not going to laugh anymore. I'm sickened by it. I'm sickened by Stench, too, because he's been politicking on the side as well. Vote for soft salami at ESPN.
By the way,
TMKS ESPN on Twitter.
That would not – I got to tell you, the biggest disrespect, the biggest disservice you could do to sniff him dead would be to lobby to have soft salami beat Stench. That wouldn't even be right. Then sniff him dead lost for nothing. And by the way, I got news for you. Stench can beat Andrew Yelling. Soft salami can't.
Now, we really should break, but I've got a politic for myself again. So I'm in the final four in the Jason Barrett poll.
God, look at you.
And Rich Eisen is killing me. I love Rich. He's a friend, but he shouldn't be destroying me. Please vote for me at Sports Radio PD, Sports Radio PD on Twitter. Let's get the Carmi out. And let's have me at least have a representative showing. It's 80% to 20%. I mean, that's not right.
It's not.
That's troubling.
That's troubling. Let's see if the Carmi can do it, and let's see if the Carmi can actually help some soft salami. 1-800-919. You heard me. Yep. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kayla Greco, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Well, we have not gotten the bounce from the Carmi and the Jason Barrett poll. It's sad. Rich Eisen's going to embarrass me. Thanks, Carmi. Come on. Sports Radio PD, at Sports Radio PD. Well, let's go back to the phone, see if we could get more angry. Let's go to Joe in New Jersey. Joe.
Hey, Michael, Don, Peter. Michael, I just wanted you to know this is an opinion I had before the season. This is not an overreaction. I think the Yankees will be fine over what happened today. I just think that the Yankees love to put Judge in the second spot. They've had him in that spot since he's been on the Yankees. And they've been splitting someone, a lefty, in between. They used to do Didi. Now they do Hicks between him and Stanton. I don't see why that structure is so sacred to them, like why they can't switch it up a little. Like to me, DJ reminds me of a really good number two hitter that used to be on the Yankees, Derek Jeter. I think he would be a great number two hitter. And maybe not now, but Frazier has the arc where he could be someone who could set the tone at the top of the lineup. And I don't know. I just think the Yankees lineup is maybe getting a little stale, and maybe switching it up a little could do a little good for them. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
They bat Judge second because statistics and analytics will tell you that he's going to get about 40 more at-bats per year, maybe a little bit fewer than that. But that's why they do it. So you want to have Frazier, LeMahieu, Judge, and Stanton. I don't agree. LeMahieu's a perfect leadoff hitter. She gets on base all the time. And that means Judge comes up to the plate, and in the first inning, he could have a 2-0 lead. Hicks is a great guy to bat third. He had a terrible game today, but a great guy to bat third because he's a switch hitter between Judge and Stanton. The lineup composition's not the problem. I mean, if you want to have a problem with the Yankees, say, okay, I don't like the way that the offense is built, but Judge batting second, I'm sorry, that's where they put the people they think are their best hitters at the top of the order.
The whole idea is get protection for your hitters, right? Because once you get past the first inning, it's all about whenever you come up. You might come up with the bases loaded. You might come out with nobody on. Like, it's not affecting the team. It's just they want to get him more at-bats because usually he's a really, you know, great player. So you want to, if you're going to squeeze out more at-bats, then that's more chances at home runs, more chances at, you know, hits to the gap. But that's not the reason they lost today, and that's not the reason they lose games, period.
I mean, Judge had a bad game today. Okay, I get it, but is that because he's batting second? If Judge is healthy, he's going to be one of the best players in baseball, period. That's all there is to it. Let's go to Mark in Staten Island. Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
Good. The whole straight hand thing, by the way, he's done that before, so I'm surprised anyone really fell for it. He did that a couple years ago, too.
Okay.
What did he do a couple of years ago?
Filled in the gap.
The same thing?
Where he fixed them. Yeah, same exact thing. When I saw it online the other day, I knew it was fake.
Well, that's even weaker than I thought.
Also, April Fool's is April 1st, but okay, go ahead.
The whole Yankee thing today, the only thing that concerns me about the Yankees, and this is a problem they've had for the last few years, is the runners in scoring position. Mm-hmm. They all hit well, and I know you said that baseball is built that way on home runs and strikeouts, but the last few World Series champions, like the Red Sox and the Nationals, they always lead the league in hitting with runners in scoring position. So that's the only thing that really worries me. Does anything really worry you guys as like a season-long problem with the Yankees?
Yeah.
Not just today, obviously.
Yeah, they're starting pitching. I mean, if you want to have a legitimate concern, a 60% of their starting rotation, 60%. Corey Kluber, Jameson Taillon, and Domingo Herman have pitched one inning combined over the last year. You want a concern? Get yourself concerned about that. Don't be concerned about their offense. Don't be concerned about their bullpen. Their bullpen will be fine. Be concerned about whether those guys can give the Yankees at least 140 innings. I don't know if they can. That's what I'm concerned about.
Right. So if they got blown out today because they couldn't pitch, well, then I can understand that being a problem because the one guy you should be least concerned about is Cole. You really think this lineup is going to get 6 hits and 2 runs every night?
I don't.
No. Does anybody really think that? Yeah, on a given day, you're going to get shut down. By the way, you got shut down by a pretty good starting pitcher today and a pretty good baseball team. One such kid from the minors that pitched for the Detroit Tigers today is a Blue Jays team that could be a playoff team. And Ryu is a really good pitcher.
Yeah. Unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable.
It's almost like, and I don't want to get on the Yankee fans because I think a lot of fans are the same way, it's almost like they think the rest of baseball's props and that the Yankees are just supposed to win every time they play. That's not how baseball works.
It's a long
season. Best teams in baseball
season.
Still going to lose 62 times, Michael. 162 means you lost 62 times.
Yep.
There he is.
I'll be here all week.
By the way, can I get emotional here for a second?
Oh, here we go.
Please.
Do-do-do-do.
I love the Carmy. They really do have my back. Just like this, I am now up 66-34 over Eisen. I am going to win this voting in the most fraudulent way possible. I really am.
I love it.
It's Sports Radio PD. Hold on. I got to go look.
It also helps that Rich Eisen doesn't care and isn't involved in this.
Doesn't even know it's happening.
Probably has no idea it's happening. And if he does, he's looking, why can't he just take a lead here?
When I voted, which was like 30 seconds ago, I thought.
Hold on.
It was 80-20 in favor of Eisen.
Yeah, now it's changed
dramatically. By the way, do you want to – how do I say this without offending anyone?
There's not a lot of votes, right?
Guys, Charles Barkley is up 51.8 to 48.2 over Tony Reale.
Because Reale has a Reale army.
I guess so.
Right. And Barkley doesn't even know what's going on.
I know, but he's still Chuck. Michael, so there's 585 votes. Meaning when this thing started and Michael was down, there was like 100 votes.
No, there was like 280, I think.
So the last 300 votes have all been the Carmy.
I love the Carmy. They're such great people. Yep. All right, let's take a brief time out. How's CNN coming along?
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Really? How was the rest of the show since I was on the air? Because I miss being on the air with you guys. I realized that
FOMO?
In the third inning. Yeah, I did have FOMO. Well, what are they doing without me? And is the show better? And I think it could be.
Well, a lot of Lindor.
Okay. And right, by the way, we were right. I think it was all been a ruse. It was done when he tweeted that first tweet. I never doubted he would be signed.
And a little bit of, just it kind of stinks the Mets aren't going to play today and why.
Yeah, I was looking forward to watching that game tonight. I really was. I love watching Jacob DeGrom pitch.
And we had some spirited conversation about the Jets and the Giants.
I heard about that. Andrew was telling me.
Sure he did.
So you and Damian Woody are in lockstep, Don.
Yeah.
Big Sam guys.
That's right.
I mean, listen, you overstate it because you're too far the other way. I understand what Don's saying.
I'm not too far the other. You know how I feel about Sam.
You like him personally, but you think he stinks.
I don't think he stinks, but I have not seen what Don sees. I wish I could see what Don sees.
Don hasn't seen that much. He just hasn't. He just what he did see was a horrifying team and bad coaching. Right, Don? Would you say that's true?
That's right.
He didn't see that much. He just saw too much working against him to succeed. God, that was really, really said well.
It was better than, 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, so the Nets play the Hornets tonight, and James Harden is out, but he has now joined the ranks of everybody else. He is listed as day-to-day. He will not be out as long as Durant. With a hamstring injury. At least that's what the Nets say. Remember, the Nets also said that Durant would be playing before the All-Star game, but they're very, very careful. Their sports management team, we'll see. But they continue to win. They're in the stretch now, luckily for them, where they're playing just the flotsam and the jetsam of the NBA. They almost lost that game yesterday. They slept through three quarters and then woke up and beat the Rockets. So they're very, very good. And Kyrie Irving stepped up and played the point with Harden out and was just amazing. 1-800-919-3776. I know you guys talked about the Knick game yesterday. What a terrible loss. Well, I mean, what a bad loss.
Yeah, it's not concerning. It's just I still don't think they're in a position where they can throw games away.
No. That's not great. Not great.
I mean, you got an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter against the worst team in the NBA. You can't close it out.
I need some cheering up, Anthony. Can you give me the drop again? Because it's so good.
Postseason long, where they just couldn't get the big hit to finish the team off.
Yep.
See, now I agree with Don. He left you that opening all postseason long, and then you didn't bite. Then he added another sentence, and you came up with a brilliant yep.
Did you guys see the text message I sent you?
Yeah. Oh, I don't think it's a catch.
You don't?
No.
If anyone's on Twitter, go to my Twitter page, at Rosenberg Radio. I posted a tiger catching a ball. It's an unbelievable catch, but I've asked people to review it and tell me if he actually maintains possession, because I think it's very close.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Lance. In Old Bridge. Lance?
Yes.
How you doing, Lance?
Hello, Michael. How you doing? Thank you for taking my first call ever.
Well, thank you for making it.
I just want to say you guys are the undisputed champions of New York sports here. So happy to get away from that other guy, you know, the loud one.
Well, thank you.
All right.
A hard salary cap. I like what the NHL did. When it comes to small market teams, I have a Pirates friend who's a Pirates fan. It's tough for these small market teams to compete with the Yankees in free agency. So, you know, is there any news? Is it a reality, a potential hard cap?
No.
And then lastly, the pitch count.
You got a chance at a pitch clock. You have no chance at a hard salary cap, and small market teams can't compete. I was just, you know, mentioning Tampa Bay just the other day. David Cohn and I were talking off the air about a salary cap. And he said, you can't be in a 50-50 business with people that both sides don't trust each other. You just can't.
Well, that's
he said,
not
who,
good.
He said, who's doing the counting of the revenues? He said, unless the players are as part of a counting of the revenues, he said, can you trust anybody to give you the right counting of what the cap should be?
But how do the other sports make it work? Like, that's an argument for the first sport ever to use a salary cap.
He said hockey went to a salary cap. He said because they were in desperate straits, they had to. He said that the sport would have died. He said baseball's
NBA
not dying, and the NBA as well, and the NFL. I'm sorry, the players' union's not that strong. You either take the cap or you don't play.
No, but I understand. But you know, the NHL had to do it. The NBA had to do it back in the day. Leave the NHL for a second.
Right.
The NBA did that like a long, long time ago. And how many CBAs have they developed since then, to where, you know, they might have been able to get rid of it or change it or do something, and yet there's still a trust. I don't care what business, cap or no cap, Michael, it's never good business if both sides despise each other at the level that MLB does.
No,
and
it's
I don't
not,
get
it's
it.
Not perfect.
And I don't get it, because there's billionaires in the other sports too. Players get taken advantage of in the other sports too. Well, baseball's not unique. So why does the Players Association lack the trust in the owners that the other sports don't have?
David gave me a perfect example of it. He said, you know, he used to be on the negotiating committee on the union. And he said that an owner once told him, he said, we could make $4 million profit. On the books, look like $2 million in losses. And 8 of the top accounting firms in the country would say, they didn't do anything wrong. He said, so if an owner told him that, he said, how would the union ever allow to be revenue? You know, they're going to split revenue. They wouldn't feel that they're getting a proper accounting of the revenue. You're right, Don. It's a terrible way to go forward, and I think it's really bad for the game. How's the game growing if both sides are not pulling the rope in the same way?
But and listen, I trust David Cohn's telling the truth, and I'm sure that's from like 20 years ago, and things probably haven't changed since that conversation he had with an owner.
And that's all businesses, too. All businesses could turn a profit into a loss on the books. But every one of them knows how to do
it. But do you think right now that's the reason for the hatred from at least the player's side, or the fact that they lost the last time? And now they want to get their pound of flesh.
The latter. The last two collective bargaining agreements, the players lost terribly. And now they're going to try to get all that yardage they lost back, and that's why it could get really ugly. Because they're going to try to get everything they lost back, and why would the owners give it back? Let's go to Frank in Freeport. Frank.
How's it going today?
Good. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Mike, just a quick question. You guys going to be doing every game at the stadium now? It's only four, it's only for home games.
No, we're at the stadium today.
I'm saying like road games. Is that what going to be?
The plan for the first half, Frank, is to do every game from the stadium, even the road games. But it's subject to change if things loosen up and everything with COVID loosens up in the country. But right now the plan is, at least for the first half of the season, everything will be done at the stadium.
Got it. Yeah, that's so much better. So my point is Aaron Hicks. I can't stand him. I know it's just one game today, but just going back the past 2 years, mm-hmm. we got him. He was more of a project when we first got him. This guy he's not clutch. The only good thing, he is a switch hitter, but I don't know. He has like 5 years remaining on his contract. I feel like they should finally try to trade him. Maybe they bring up Soriano. They could have signed Jackie Bradley. And I feel like in the future, they could have bring up Dominguez to his place on the field, but I can't stand with his team.
I'll tell you what, Frank. He had a bad day today, but he gets on base at a pretty high rate. He walks a lot, so he's always going to get on base for Stanton. And I'm sorry, the Yankee front office loves him. That's why they signed him to a 7-year, $70 million deal. Now, Rick DiPietro just texted me.
Yes.
He said the NHL has a cap, and they don't trust a thing the owners say. He said, we had an owner with the Islanders that claimed they made $0 in revenue for the entirety of a season. But the players had no other choice because what was they going to let the league go away?
Yeah.
And I know what you're saying about the NFL. I don't know if the players in the NFL have much of a leg to stand on because they know, as great as they are, the last time they tried to take a hard, firm stand, great players, not just marginal, great players crossed the line. And even the games with the replacement players, they got ratings.
I know.
It's distressing.
But because they're partners, they have allowed their sport to grow.
Right.
Now, whether we like the 17-game schedule or not, whether we like all the different outlets in which the games are broadcast, or the NHL is better, basketball's way better, football's better because they're partners. And the salary cap made them partners. Right now, the owners and the players are just not at invested in growing the game.
No, not
and
at all.
And that's a major problem for us. We're the ones that lose.
And it's funny, too, because the extension of the NFL regular season – seems so much greedier and so much more negatively impactful than expanding the playoffs in baseball.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
what's the downside, really?
Because they felt that the owners were going to benefit from it too much rather than thinking, well, maybe some of our. There are a couple of people. Edwin Encarnacion doesn't have a job. He can hit with anybody. There's no DH in the National League. For the good of the game, it all would have been renegotiated next year anyway, or this when the CBA runs out on December 1st. But, again, they just like to fight. The Michael Kay Show, 98.7 ESPN, is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Well, ENN's coming up. Drop Madness, the results. You've got about 20 minutes left, maybe a little less, to vote. And if you want to vote out Stents, now's the time to do it.
Why would you, though? Because it's the best drop of the tournament.
Salami's better. It's at TMKS ESPN. So think about it, people. You almost did it last time. You almost got an undeserving team out. But you missed by about 3 votes. But let's see if you can do it now. 1-800-919-3776. But ENN's coming up next right here on 98.7 ESPN. And yes.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.